It's the 1 o'clock hour. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Darren McFarland, Elijah Campbell on the ones and twos behind the glass at our Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Tennessee about to hit the field and do battle at the College World Series in Omaha. Got it on here, Willie, and it's the UTs, Texas, Tennessee. Texas will be the home team, but this stadium looks awesome with the aerial view. All the fans in there, so we'll keep you updated on that. Bernard Pollard coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about his weekend at the Nashville Super Speedway, plus get into some football with him. But Adam Vingan sent me this note, Willie, when he was listening to our Predators conversation. Ekholm is represented by the same agent as Arvidsson and Johansson, the same agency that represented Arvidsson and Johansson. So I don't know if that I don't know how much of that matters, but at
I
least
think
there's
some of it is the attitude of the player to a degree.
Yeah,
because Arvidsson and Ekholm, the last go round, signed very team friendly deals. Johansson is not under that category.
Right.
Now, have they changed agents since then? I don't. That would be an interesting question. Are they represented by the same guy they always have been, or have they changed since they signed the last contract? That would be, I don't know the answer to that.
That same agency also represents Kyle Turris.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's obviously familiarity, you know, and David Poile, as long as he's been doing this, probably knows, he's familiar with pretty much everybody. So,
sure.
Tennessee, Texas is underway in Omaha. So we'll, again, keep you posted on that. But it's been an interesting conversation, though, because I guess I haven't done the deep dive into, you know, you take a few weeks, you decompress, you figure out kind of, all right, now what's the direction of the team. But looking at the numbers, and capfriendly.com is a great website to do that, it is – interesting to go, all right, well, if you take this away but you add this and you give this guy a new contract, what it does. But the thing that we haven't gotten to is, if you make all these moves, what do you add? You know, are there some free agents that you think could potentially be available that fit what this team is doing or trying to do? How much do you want to add?
Well, let's also bring in Einstein theory of relativity. We do know that every team, almost every team, has similar issues. They got to deal with the expansion draft.
Yep.
They probably got a few contracts they don't like very much, and they want to get better. So there's going to be a lot of competition. There's going to be a lot of conversations. And I do think that this is something we have not introduced into this conversation today that I think might be in play. I'm not thrilled with this contract I've got over here. You're not thrilled with your contract for X player over there. Mm-hmm. Why don't we swap?
Yep.
Now, let's try it. Let's try it again. Let's try it again with a new leash on life for both of these guys. That could be in there. And maybe that's a way to say, okay, I needed some new blood. Maybe this guy fits better with the way we play. And the player we're trading fits better over there where we're trading him to. Maybe in the other conference, right? So you're protected that way. I do think that's something worth exploring. Because the bottom line is, you're not going to get a whole lot back for a guy that's in that category. We
right.
saw it in the past, you know, the Flames traded James Neal to the Oilers for Milan Lucic, right? In a deal that was just like that.
Like
two
not
guys that weren't
out.
Fitting.
Yeah.
They weren't fitting for their current spots. They swapped. It's been better for both of them since then, right? But they still are in that category, a big contract, not a lot of results.
What's going to be the status with Neal? I mean, is he going to get bought out?
How many years left does he have on his deal?
He has, I want to say, like three.
Is there still three? Wow.
No, actually, okay. No, he's got two.
Two.
Yep.
At how many?
5.75.
It's a little steep. How old is he now?
Neeler is 33.
33.
Going to be 34.
34 win.
He will be, because I remember us being like right around the same age. And I will be 34 on Friday. So he is in September. He will be 34.
Okay, so you're getting his age 34 and 35 seasons for $5.75 million.
Yeah. I think he'd be one that if they buy him out, if Edmonton buys him out, then teams would be interested.
Oh, on big a cheap, time. Would there cheap be a deal. Lot of teams interested?
Yeah, and the Predators may be in that category.
Could be.
He still lives here.
Oh, he would love to come back here. There's no question. That would be the best thing you have going for you, is that his desire to come back here would be a factor. He might even take a little bit less because you're getting paid. He's right. Getting paid the money.
No, if I'm entertaining it at all, he's a 1 year, $1 million somewhere in there. That's what he is.
That's possible.
He is the Mike Ribeiro.
The only issue is the space. He's taking up a spot.
Right.
Right. We're again in. You got to get back to your big picture. You want a pathway for Tomasino to get in there and play. You want to keep room for these young players that are already carved out sort of a spot.
Sure.
To grow. So that's that balance you're trying to strike. But, I think, you brought it up, Holla. James Neal would be another guy that for the right price in that real need a veteran, don't want to pay a whole lot. That's the price range that those guys can be useful in the right thing to fill out your roster. But what availability do you have? Exactly what slot is he going into? You've got the herd now, right? So your fourth line is spoken for, right? It's not like, hey, let's throw him in on the fourth line. Let's see what happens. The fourth line really on paper is already filled.
Yeah,
with what you want to do there. So it's more like the second and the third lines that you're tinkering with. Where does Tomasino fit? Is he third line? Can you get him in there on the top six? Can he carry that load?
Well, at least you have. At least it appears you're going to have a training camp and a preseason to be able to tinker with that. I mean, that's the other thing that I think is huge for John Hines. Is that he's going to have the full training camp that you can right. work with these things. He hasn't had that since he's been here. He's had, the return to play camp for a week or two, a 10-day camp, but he hasn't had the full normal training camp to really work with these guys, and I think that will be hugely beneficial this fall when they do that.
I think so, and you're also starting – you would start the training camp on time, already knowing exactly what your role definition is for a lot of your young players, exactly what system you're playing, the roles of the assistant coaches. That's going to be valuable. But so let's just, I mean, I think you just, the forwards is a really interesting thing. Let's just say the herd is penciled in.
And Olivier is an RFA, just so you know.
Right. You know, all of the herdsmen, Olivier, Jeannot, and Trennan, I think, would be eligible in the expansion draft. But let's just say that those guys come back, as would Sissons. But let's just say you have those four for those three spots on the fourth line, in theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's just say that you have Forsberg is penciled in on your first line, and you have... let's just say Johansson on the first line, in theory. He's in the mix. And if you want to say, well, Johansson's in Seattle, then Duchesne will be in the mix there, right? I'm just looking at circles.
Sure.
You have 12 circles that you're filling, plus really a 13th guy who's going to be in there, your 14th guy. Those guys are all going to be in there because of injuries. Granlund? Cunning is in this picture somewhere.
You're talking about for the other winger on the top line?
Not necessarily on the top line, but I'm just looking at the nine circles above. We have the herd on the fourth line. So we're looking at nine circles.
Yeah,
so who are the candidates for the nine? Tomasino, you'd like to be in there somewhere. Tolvanen would be somewhere. Forsberg, Johansson.
Is Arvidsson. Yeah.
Yarncroak. That's six right there. Who am I missing? Nick Cousins. That's seven.
Mm-hmm.
Under contract. Who else am I missing that's under contract for next year? Have I mentioned Granlund?
Yeah, you brought Granlund.
Okay, so that's assuming that he's signed.
I mean,
you have to sign him.
You have, so, Johansson, Duchesne.
Now I've lost my notes where I wrote all this.
Forsberg, Arvidsson, Sissons, Cunning, Grimaldi, Yarncroak.
Oh, Grimaldi
Cousins,
is another one I didn't have in there.
Olivier, Richardson's going to be gone. Tolvanen, Granlund, Holla. Holla is
a wild card.
Right now. I'd say
so
Rocco
gets traded.
There's
some flexibility in there. There's some flexibility in there to bring in a new guy.
And here's another thing. Let's play the scenario that Seattle doesn't take Johansson or Duchesne. I would say that there is a very, very good chance that somebody like Colton Sissons is who they look at. Colton Sissons is
attractive.
Very, very attractive because he's cheap. He's versatile. He can play just about anywhere you need him to play. You know, he's played second line, but third, fourth, there, you know, he is a versatile player. I think Yarncroak or Sissons are the ones that if Seattle's like, hey, not interested, we're just not going to take on that type contract.
Sure.
One of those two guys, for sure. And that obviously that changes things too, because Sissons is the centerpiece of the herd.
Yep.
So do you put the three remaining together?
Well, I think you would find another guy. You could Holla or somebody like that at a price that would not be that dissimilar from Sissons. You could find a guy to fill that role if that happened. You'd hate to lose a guy like Sissons, but I think he is more replaceable than some other pieces there.
Yeah, potentially. So I think the thing about this and what this conversation has done for me is, as Peyton Manning looks on at in Omaha, the thing that this has done to me is just really opened up all the different scenarios that could play out. I mean, there are tons here, and it's almost a domino effect of, all right, whatever Seattle does, that makes this happen. So it's been a good discussion. We have had people weigh in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and given their thought. Paul says the line between Tampa and Nashville is not fine at all, and there's a lot more teams than the defending champs on that list. If one doesn't think the roster is not getting boat raced by Colorado, Vegas, Tampa, Boston, etc., then they're wearing gold-colored glasses. So clearly,
Everybody would love to be in those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few teams that are juggernauts. Nashville is not going to be that next year. There's no way they can get there on paper with no matter what they do.
If you think
in most cases, there, like Colorado had to be really bad for a while. And they made some really good moves, but it took a while. They took about 3-4 years where they were awful, right?
Yeah,
Nathan MacKinnon was the first overall pick.
And everybody thought Patrick Waugh was getting it turned around, and then they brought in Bednar. And I remember...
But even with MacKinnon as a young player and stuff, they were bad
for
a while.
But you remember that series against
Tampa Bay has been really, really good, and they have been bad for a while. That's kind of how they built where they are in a general sense. Okay, so what the text line is going with there, 100% true. But you're trying to be the best you can be.
Sure.
Right? I do not think I'm not ready to go for 4 or 5 years.
No.
In the toilet.
You would like to avoid that.
Restart everything. And some people might be willing to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it wouldn't be easy to do even if you tried. And I think there's a middle ground of being able to retool.
Another texter says, if you think that Johansson has been a successful trade, you must be watching a different team than I am. Duchesne actually puts out more effort during the regular season. Both guys are way overpaid for the production that they provide. They are also a bad example for younger players. Duchesne should be traded and Johansson should be bought out. No chance okay. that buyout.
Okay, buyout. How many years left on Johansson's contract?
Was it four? Let's see. He's got, yeah, four. So
that's you're already doing it with Turris for the foreseeable future. That's costing you $2 million a year for a long time. I lost track of how many years. So you're gonna buy out Johansson? I don't think so.
No. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen at all. So I mean, entitled to your opinion, you can say they're both overrated and in ways they are, but I've said it before. I think at the time he made that trade, it was the right move. It has had success. Now, since he re-signed the contract, have you gotten everything you wanted out of him? No.
But, well, okay. So let's again present what's on the horizon for Duchesne and Johansson. Right now, you're not satisfied with getting bang for your buck. They tried everything with Turris before they resorted to buying him out. You do have to prepare for, hey, maybe the expansion, you don't like what it's going to take to get rid of one of those contracts. You have to prepare yourself on the other side to, we got to make the most of Duchesne and Johansson. They'll be back on the roster. We got to go about a different way. We got to see if we can get more out of those guys. You might have to be prepared to do that. Because I just think after you've already played the card of buying out Turris, the buyout thing is just, there's no way.
Yeah.
Right?
No, definitely not going to happen. Top of the second, still no score. Tennessee with a man on and one out as things are underway against Texas in this elimination game in Omaha, the battle of the UTs. Darren, I think you're back with us. So watching this.
Why would a Texas outfielder, a right fielder, throw the foul ball to a Tennessee fan? I was amazed.
Did he get confused on the oranges?
Maybe. Colorblind?
I mean, it wasn't a kid. It was a grown man, and he's got a UT. He's decked out in UT orange and a foul ball down the right field line, and he tosses the ball to the UT fan?
And they are different. I mean, one is a burnt orange. One is, I've heard it called pumpkin.
Well, if you can't tell the difference on a sunny day in Omaha, then you're colorblind. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the right fielder's colorblind.
We know some people that are colorblind.
Yeah.
It happens. Maybe he just saw the T and he could not, in his eyesight, could not differentiate the shades of orange.
I just thought for sure he would shake off that fan because he was right on the wall and he's like, come on, give me the ball. And I thought he was like, no, man. You got the wrong orange.
He's focused on other things.
Go give it to a kid.
Focused on other things, so. Yeah.
Big game right now.
Tennessee's in a good spot.
Yeah, first and second, one out. Threatening here in the second inning. Looks like a gorgeous day there, gorgeous day here. We're going to have Bernard Pollard coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about his experience at the Nashville Super Speedway on Sunday in the flag stand. Pretty cool as he waved the flag for the Ally 400. And then we'll see what Tennessee can do right here. First time ever in this spot in the College World Series. Oh, that's a blast. That's down the line. That's fair. That's going to play one. And what will it be? First, second, and third? One out? Yep. Second,
yeah, first,
third,
second,
one
third.
Out. They play one. 1-0 Tennessee. Still in business. Another base hit like that. They'll play two. So we'll see where this is going. We'll come back. Bernard Pollard on the other side. We'll talk about his experience at the Nashville Super Speedway, something I think I would like to do, but I'm not real sure. We'll find out how his nerves were hanging out over those cars over the track. We'll do that next here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, let's talk about Loan Pronto. Home loan rates are incredible right now. They're back down again. I've been telling you guys this a lot. Take advantage of what's out there. It's all the more reason to call Loan Pronto right now and get your new home loan. Lock in that rate of a lifetime. Call now. Take advantage of Loan Pronto's zero-cost refi program. You can snag a super low rate, no junk fees, no closing costs. And listen, you don't roll closing costs into your loan with Loan Pronto. They cover them for you. Even if you refinance last month or last year, consider doing it again because it's going to save you money. And it's such a non-hassle process. Loan Pronto has an all-digital process now. It's fast. It's easy. Most loans get closed in 2 weeks. and they don't even require an appraisal in most cases. So that's what you need to do right now. Call Loan Pronto now. Start the process before the rates spike again. Do it now. You can even skip your next two house payments. All you got to do is pick up the phone, 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. If your current mortgage rate starts with a 3, you need to act right now. 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com, equal housing lender.
NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero costs.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you here on this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. Elijah Campbell manning things back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. He goes by CrushBoy31 on Twitter. Give him a follow. It's free and easy to do. He crushed it at the Nashville Super Speedway on Sunday for the Ally 400. We've talked about his gaining interest in the sport of NASCAR. And he got the opportunity, first cup race in our market in 37 years. We're now joined by Bernard Pollard, the man who was waving the flag. Bernard, how the heck was the experience?
Wow. It was, first and foremost, how y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great.
The experience was, I talked about it a little bit yesterday to a few people. That was by far the best experience, one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. And
wow.
I'm not blowing smoke. That was awesome. It was truly amazing.
So I have said, when we've talked about this, that that's something I've never been able to do. It's something that definitely interests me. I do have a big fear of heights. And I'm just not sure if you have to look down. I mean, you can't, like, look away. I'm just not sure staring down at the concrete surface over 39 cars, whatever it was, on Sunday. I'm not sure it's something I would be really comfortable with. Did you have any issues on that front?
Well, first and foremost, I'm scared of heights and water. Now, I do shower, but I'm scared of pools, oceans, and lakes, and all the other stuff. But it was, I mean, my whole mindset was just go and attack it. I literally found out in Chicago, and I kind of put it out there, and I didn't know. I was telling the God's honest truth, but I did not know it was in my briefings. But I found out in Chicago that I was waving a green flag, and so it was news to me. When I saw it on Twitter, and so I'm blown away. So we fly back, and I end up talking to Ally, talking to Andrea, the CMO of Ally, and she was like, "Yeah, you waving you, Ally Race," and she was like, "Yeah, you waving the green flag," and I was like, "What?" Like, so, so you know, when I got there, the biggest part, like, I had my look, I got to drop my name. I had a Lululemon my joggers on, so when I'm going up, you know, my booty crack, the top of my booty crack was out just a little bit, but it was all kind of other booty cracks. So I was out when I was coming down the bleacher, so I, you know, I'm pretty sure they felt the air, but when I climbed up, it was crazy. It's scary. I got up there, it was mad scary, and then one of the officials told me, he go, "Hey, this is one of the tallest stands, you know, when you talk about tracks, this is one of the tallest ones that are out there." So he was like,
wow.
"You ain't gonna get too much taller than this." So, you know, I couldn't look down. I could not even look at the planes. I couldn't look at the men and women parachuting in. I literally kept my head down, kept my hand on that rail, because I'm thinking, always in the movies when something goes wrong, the black people die first. And I was the only black one up there. So, you know, I'm sitting up there, man, I'm looking like, man, these cars going by, we shaking. And I was truly scared. And I still am. I would never do it again. But it was so awesome. I'm so happy that I did it. Now, getting down was a beast because I had to sit down on that hot metal and then try to turn around. But it was cool, though, man. The fans cheered me on when I got down. I was embarrassed that I showed them I was scared, but I didn't care either because I was scared.
Wow, that you just painted the picture for radio. That was fantastic. By the way, we did the show Bernard Friday from the track, and we did it up in basically the penthouse of the press box, which is up on the sixth floor. And I realized before I got there, there's only one elevator that goes up there that far. The other ones only go to 5. And I didn't realize that at the time. And I couldn't And so I just jumped on the elevator to go do the show Friday morning, and it only took me to 5, which means what? I had to then walk up the stairs. And, you know, I mean, Bernard, I'm like you. Like, I can't do it any better than you. Like, luckily, no one saw me. No one. It was just me, myself, and I. But I told Chase when I got up there and got in the press box, I had to go to the restroom. I'm pretty sure some warm liquid went down my leg.
And you didn't even go all the way up. You didn't even go to the spotter stand.
No, I didn't even go to the spotter stand. But it was just nerve-wracking going up steps from the 5th floor to the 6th floor.
Yeah, I believe it, brother. Hey, I'm with you. I understand your pain. Like, I'm not judging you.
I could feel, by the way, when you described your experience, I could feel like me having the same feelings if I was in that flag stand with you. I mean, that was great. So, how much instructions are there? I mean, how much do you have to go through, like, a course? Like, how much are they telling you how this is going to work and what to do? Was that a big production or no?
Well, no, it wasn't a big production. I literally, when I got up, off the ladder and up in the tower, the guy said, look, he said, do not show these drivers that. He said, if they see a little bit of green, they taking off. So I'm like, oh, Lord. So I'm like, I'm about to mess this whole thing up. Like, they're going to have to restart. But, so he was just like, just keep it low. He said, and I will tap you. I said, bro. He said, at first he told me, he said, once they get inside of that, the insurance, I think it was the Geico insurance. Geico, I said Geico.
Yep.
The Geico insurance box, he said, you go. He said, he was like, that's when you raise the flag. I said, look, bro, I said, I'm going to mess that up. I said, all I need you to do is pat me on my back. As soon as you pat me, I said, I'm going to start waving it. And so, they came around, he tapped, I start waving the flag, but, it's the 43 freaking car messed everything up. Because they had to go to a caution as soon as I waved the flag, and the guy he said, "Hey, you can stay in again and wave the green flag to restart them." I said, "Hell no, I'm going down."
my commitment is fulfilled.
You're like one time. I don't have two in me. So where I parked on Sunday. I left because I did not want to be caught in all the traffic. So I left. I snuck out a little bit early before the end of the race because I didn't want to be sitting there for hours. But the lot that I was in was basically right there on that back stretch on that fence. Mm-hmm. And I decided before I got in the car and left, I wanted to go experience that. And just there, and there's a gap, obviously. I'm not, like, leaning up against the fence on the back wall. But there's a gap. There's, basically a walkway where they can drive carts through or whatever. But I'm pretty darn close to that back stretch. And so they're coming back there full throttle. And when all those cars go by, one, I'm glad I had sunglasses on because you get hit with rubber in the face, rubber in your hair.
Right.
And just that force, it's unbelievable. What was it like up there? How about feeling that force up hanging out over the track as all those cars go zipping by? What was that like?
So it was impressive when I was up in the tower. The guy said, he was like, hey, anybody that got hats on? Because my best friend was up with me. He came up. The ladies that were with us for Ally Racing, they need to bring the earplugs. So I went up there with no earplugs. And so the guy goes, hey, you got earplugs? I go, no. He go, you need earplugs. So they ran and got me earplugs. The ladies go, we're not bringing that up. So my best friend ended up bringing it up, and he stayed up there with us. So I put the earplugs in. When I went down, I told him, he said, you can stay up here for 5 laps. I said, sir, I said, I'm good. I'm going down. So I try to stay at the fence, right at the finish line, I try to bear it. And I say, I'm going to sit through this, let them go by, and I'm going to stand by the fence. Man, I had my earplugs in. The cars went by. I literally could not. I couldn't stand. I ran back and had to plug my ears that much more because it was so loud and the force of the cars. It was, like I said, one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. Now, it was scary with some parts, but just all the stuff that I've learned, just talking to the drivers, to the pit crews, to the crew chiefs, to the spotters, to the fans, I can't, honestly, it was awesome. I'm still trying to digest it today.
Okay, so I got to ask the question, what's next, Bernard? What's next? I mean, you're hook, line, and sinker, man. You're in now. You've done this. There's got to be a next. Is it the pace car? Is it getting in a ride-along for a couple laps? Like, what's the next step?
Yeah, I mean, the next step for me is just to continue to learn. I'm one of those I'm one of those people where I love to learn. So I literally just put out a tweet because I want to know about older drivers. I want to know about the guys, the OGs that race, you know, and of course I'm with Ally. I do work with Ally, and I hate to use the word influencer because I can't stand that but I'm an influencer with Ally as far as social media and dealing with Zoom calls and dealing with a lot of the back, the behind the scenes stuff. So I'm doing stuff with them, but I'm literally just soaking it all in. And I had an opportunity to go to Mr. Hendrick's RV on Sunday, and he literally just taught me in that short amount of time, in the 25 minutes I think I was in this RV with him, just talking racing and the history of it and the drivers, and I'm blown away. And so I'm going to Charlotte and I'm going to the headquarters and we're going to I'm just going to learn more. I just want to dive into this thing and just learn about the sport. I want to learn about the races. I want to learn, why is this sport so awesome? But why is this sport out there? And I didn't know about it until 35 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I understand where I came up from. I get that, but I'm looking like so many kids like me. You know, they need to know about this. They need to understand that this is a sport that's freaking amazing and can do great things for you. If you're not a driver, you could be a part of the pit crew. If you won't be a part of pit crew, you could be as a spotter. Like, it's freaking awesome. And that's what I want to dive into it.
Let me just tell you, from walking around pit row, and Chase, you know this because you've seen it too, the evolution of the pit crews today, and I was, like I said, walking up and down, hanging out at Kyle Larson's pits or Joey Logano's pits or whatever. These guys look like guys that you were trying to tackle in the NFL. These guys are humongous guys in these pit crews now. They look like, they look like football players. They look like they all played college football or maybe some level of pro football for a little bit, and now they're in a pit crew. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. These guys are straight athletes, like 6'5", like 280, jumping over the wall. I was like, whoa. Did you get a chance to meet any of these pit crews?
I did. I did. And I mean, for me, it was amazing because Tig, who was actually an old teammate out of Clemson, that the Tennessee Titans end up bringing in, I think it was my first or second year. He's a part of the pit crew, one of the pit crews. And I mean, we just honestly, we took pictures and just talked and man, I was just talking to him, talking to the pit crew with the 48 team, you know, those dudes, I told a lot of people yesterday, you don't realize it, but them cats, the lineman, you know, for a guy that played lineman at a D3 school, that's almost his position, you know, with the pit crew. He's lugging that big fuel, the gas tank, mm-hmm. and putting it in. And, you know, you got another guy that played running back, and he has to lead the way and pick up different things. You got another guy that played linebacker, and another guy that played, you know, he played H-back and different things, that he's the jack man. And how that, like, the transition from them off the football field to the pit crew, it's almost the same. And they work just like a team. Like, you know, the crew chief is like the offensive coordinator. And then, you know, you got the guy that got to put the body of the car and keep the technology and everything else going. He's the defensive coordinator. And he got the overseer. Dude, blown away. I'm blown away by all of it. And this is why I say we have got to – this sport needs to be in these young kids. It needs to be in front of them. They need to see it. They need to see that this is an option as well. And I'm happy and I'm blessed because for my kids, it's an option. My five-year-old, he wants to be a racer. So we're literally putting him in go-kart and going to let him race. You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, that wasn't the case for me. That wasn't the case for me growing up or my siblings. It wasn't the case for us. So I'm blessed to be able to put my son in that position. You want to race? Let's go. Let's go get it. My daughter wants to race. So I'm just truly just amazed at all of it.
We're talking to Bernard Pollard, former Titan safety, NFL safety now, NASCAR enthusiast as well, and he waved the green flag at the Nashville Super Speedway. Now, you mentioned your partnership with Ally. I really enjoyed the videos that you did with Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon as they competed over the paint scheme that Alex Bowman ran in the Ally 400. Beautiful-looking race car, the neon colors that was Dale Jr.'s design. But what was it like working with those guys on that and being a part of it?
It was interesting because, I mean, for me, I'm the type of dude, I'm not starstruck. I don't like to bother people, you know, but, you know, being in this position with Ally, they're letting me, I'm just a dude that I love to have fun. I love to laugh. I love to break the ice. But I want it to be a good time. You know, so with a lot of racers, a lot of drivers, they're kind of calm, cool, collected dudes. Like the first freaking legend I got opportunity to meet was Jimmy Johnson. And he's a dude from Cali who doesn't really talk much, but I looked at him. I'm like, bro, we gonna laugh. I'm loud. It's okay. I'm not, you know, and so we broke the ice with all of that. So talking with Dale, talking with Jeff was just a good time, you know, just to be able to hear the way that them dudes compete from the way that we competed on the football field. It's the same. It's almost the same, you know, and I mean, they were able to keep that friendly competition and that, you know, keep all of that stuff going within, you know, trying to create a paint scheme and being a part of that. And you're seeing kind of what they're doing with the sport after, you know, post-career. You're seeing all of that. And for me, I learned a lot from both of them because they're both great businessmen. And, you know, for Jeff, like me and him kind of talk a little more about, you know, doing different things. And honestly, like, just once again, I'm blown away at how it's done, and I'm just in awe of it. But then at the same time, I'm shocked because I'm looking like I just learned this at 35, 36 years old, and I could have known this from a long time ago. But, you know, I'm just happy to be a part of it. But them cats are, they're one of a kind, man, and they're really good dudes. Like I could honestly say that I could discern, you know, from a guy that's just a D-head and then a dude that's just out there, and he's just a genuine good dude. So it's been a lot of fun to have not come across one of them guys yet.
The thing with me, and we've talked about this before, you know, I've been a NASCAR fan my entire life, but they are now trying to get more fans involved in their sport, get new fans, and not just your stereotypical NASCAR fan, which I think is amazing. I saw Alvin Kamara walking around in the pits. He is working with NASCAR now to help diversify the fan base. You and your work, I mean, this is where, I guess, about a year ago is when you really got involved and got interested in it, you know, when it came back after the pandemic. How much of a change have you seen in just that short amount of time as the sport continues to grow?
Well, I've seen a lot of change, and I want to start with NASCAR. You know, them opening this thing up and saying, you know what, we see some flaws that we've had in our sport. We want to change them. And so I think that's the biggest thing when you can see a big organization or a big, you know, network see that, understand it, and say, let's do something about it. And I think by them even opening up and saying that and being the one to do it with, you know, hiring, you know, certain people to open up doors for, you know, certain groups, because, you know, one of the biggest things is, once again, me growing up, a lot of people told me black people didn't like NASCAR, black people didn't drive, they didn't accept black people. Of course, you're going to have your small percentage of people that are going to be ignorant and say certain things. That's a small percentage of people. And I was at the race, and when I tell you, I didn't come across, no, I was in the RV parks, and just, I'm in, they had 6 to 8 or whatever RV parks, I'm in there. Man, people invite me in their RVs. And so, look, the way I grew up, when I go in somebody's house, I take my shoes off. I'm going to RVs, taking my shoes off. Everybody like, I'm like, what you doing? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going, this your house. And so, you know, it's just a respect thing. But, I mean, people, food, ping pong, cornhole. Man, they were so open and so honest and just so, just, I mean, just loving. And, I mean, this is what is needed. You know, they need to see a player like me, a guy like me that didn't grow up, that wants to know about the sport. That's what they want. That's what they love. I think with anybody, I don't care what color you are, when you come in with this certain attitude and you want to be a certain way and disrespectful to people, or you think you high and mighty, anybody's going to come back in, against that. But I think, you know, for me and for other people, the NASCAR is trying to open up that door for everybody. You know, whatever color you are, you come in, enjoy the sport, look at it, and I think bringing guys like Kamara, bringing guys like myself, or you know, other people in to try to, you know, bridge the gap, help bridge the gap. They're doing a phenomenal job, and it's been so much fun.
We love the passion. You always bring the passion. Fantastic job over the weekend. Great job today. Continue to have an awesome summer, and we'll check in with you down the road, Bernard. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me. Y'all take it easy.
At CrushBoy31 on Twitter. Give him a follow. Love his passion every time he comes on the show, and boy, he brought it on Sunday, and you could tell he was passionate about the experience he just took in. I want to talk to you about, I'm passionate about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. In fact, I'll be heading there tomorrow after the show, and maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to shed. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you going back in the right direction. We all know as adults that's happened at some point. Maybe you're in that window right now, especially with the summer months, you'd like to get rid of a little bit, some pounds before maybe you put on a swimsuit or whatever. Talk to them. They can help you. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board certified physician over there. His wife Daphne is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff can help you in a variety of ways. Whether it's rejuvenation, your appearance is important. It's important to me, should be important to you, and it gets tougher as we age. But you can sit down with that experienced staff and discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox, they do it all. Hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. Haven't been feeling yourself. Well, BHRT, testosterone, estrogen, they can talk to you about that. Get your levels checked. Maybe they've dipped to an all-time low that could affect you in some or all of those areas where you're feeling off. You don't have any drive, no energy, or you have mood swings. All that can be affected. They've got a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you don't believe me, go experience it for yourself, and you can do that by scheduling an appointment or a consultation by picking up the phone and dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291, or you can learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Three-run Tater for Texas. Nice. It was a bomb. Longhorns leading 3-2 over the Vols in the third inning. But Tennessee is cooking. They are in business. Bases loaded. Nobody out. Down 3-2.
Hell of a bunt to load them. That was a great bunt. That's what it was. It loaded up the bases.
Tell you what, I thought Vanderbilt had a great bunt last night right down the line. And, I mean, almost on the chalk. And I thought the NC State third baseman made an unbelievable play to barehand it and just throw a bullet to first and get him out. I thought it was a perfectly placed bunt, but it was a great play by the third baseman. But, yeah, a bunt right now has loaded him up for the Vols. Nobody out. Down 3-2 to Texas in the third. Tonight it'll be Mississippi State and Virginia in Omaha. So we'll see. Loser goes home. Somebody's going to join Arizona, either Tennessee or Texas. Arizona first to get shown the door at the College World Series. The loser of this game is also going to be headed back home. Is it going to be Knoxville or is it going to be Austin? Oh, nice play. Oh, wow.
That wasn't good.
Wow. Huge play for Texas. Rips it down third base. Third baseman comes home for the force at home. On to first. Double play. Second, third, two outs. Nothing played it. That was a lefty, too, going to the third baseman. Almost a bad throw.
It's so frustrating when you have man on third, less than two outs, or bases loaded, no outs, and something like that happens. It seems like it would be so easy. Like, I was watching last night after the Vanderbilt game was over, Mets-Braves. 1-0 Braves in the seventh inning, last inning, because it was 2 7-inning games. Line drive to the third baseman. Almost got a game-ending double play. And then they got the next guy out. Bases loaded, one out, didn't score. Mm-hmm. But it happens a lot. These pitchers are good.
5-2-3 double play. Yikes. Bummer. Oof. We'll see if but a base hit right here will give Tennessee the lead back. So we'll see. With two outs, because they'll be off and running. But right now, second, third, two outs. Third inning, 3-2 Texas. Looks like fly ball, inning over. Wow. Bases loaded, nobody out, and they get nothing. That may haunt them. We'll see if it comes back to bite them. That will do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your beautiful, beautiful Tuesday. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.